We are here worshiping God together, and we're just so thankful for that opportunity. You know, this is my church, and it's composed of people just like me. It will be friendly if I am friendly. It will be generous and give to great causes if I am generous. It will be loving and caring and embracing of all people if I am loving and caring and embrace people. It will be a place that becomes a light in the world if I allow myself to be a light in the world. Its seats will be filled if I fill them. It will be a place that is loving and serving. It'll be a place that there's loyalty and faithfulness if those are things that I am filled with, if that is part of my own life. You all don't belong to a normal church. It's a different church. And we're doing different today. We're stepping way out of the box. Here we are on Saturday. You know what else? You have a female pastor. That's different. Coming in June, I will be the only female pastor of a Free Methodist Church in the state of Oregon. Yeah, that's kind of good, but it's also kind of, we've lost a couple. Well, we've lost one woman. She passed away. The other one is going to pursue higher education. She doesn't have her master's yet. So things are changing. And I know sometimes when you talk about your church and you mention that your pastor is Carlene, and I know that's a weird name, but most of the time people realize it's a female's name, that's sometimes an elephant in the room. What do you mean there's a female that's in charge of your church? Women don't have the authority to speak in a public religious setting. You're going to get that pushback. If you haven't already, you're going to get it. I have had the question asked of me, how do the men in your congregation feel since you're a woman? And I have said, well, if they didn't like it, they left. I want to remind you, and I have before, that we have a pamphlet written by Bishop Kendall, and it's called, Is There Room for She in Shepherd? And Bishop Kendall is a man. He is one of our bishops. These are available at the back table. Gail is holding a whole, it's almost like a whole handful of, you know, cards, which, by the way, I played cards last night and I won. But just thought I'd slip that in there. This pamphlet has verses in it that people use to argue that women are not supposed to be in leadership. And you need to be prepared because you are going to hear that as you are inviting people to come to your fellowship. You may hear that. More often than not, you're going to hear that. So that's one way that we're different. You know another way that we're different? We're sojourners. And I have fought that. I haven't liked the idea of that. I wanted a solid foundation. I wanted to make sure that there was consistency. And I have not liked the idea that we have moved, that we have had to move. This is our third move in 4 years. And I'm just saying, God, you know, every time I'm like, okay, this is it. We've arrived. We found our place. We're going to be here for a while, folks. And that wasn't God speaking through me. Obviously, those were not words of prophecy, because in a little over a year from the time I said that, we were moving again. But you know what? God stretches us. He makes us new and different every day. And we are not a church that is a church in waiting. Because we sojourn, because we move, that does not keep us waiting. You know what? That makes us a Christ-loving, Holy Spirit-empowered, people-serving, action-taking, God-directed body of Christ. Amen. And we will continue to be that no matter where he leads. We remain clay in the potter's hand. And he makes us and he forms us and he says, you know, it's not quite how I wanted it to be. And it's sometimes painful to have to feel the potter's hands on us, remaking us and restructuring us. But he does that because we become a vessel with the purpose of the master potter behind it. So we are a church that is different, and we are embracing different today. There's a quote by Henry Nouwen that I want to share with you. And the quote says, keep a space where God can let something totally new take place. Keep a space where God can let something totally new take place. As we keep a space for God to do something totally new, let's not forget that the place may change, that the ingredients that God pours into us may change, but that nonetheless, we are being formed into his image. When we devote ourselves to prayer, as we have done over this calendar year, and we've added fasting to that, we've added disciplines to that, God answers our prayers. When we are lining our hearts up with him and our will up with him, he answers those prayers. We can pray prayers that we are absolutely certain, without a doubt, that God is going to answer. Because if it is written in the Word, God's going to answer those prayers. He tells us to go into all the world and make disciples and bring the good news to people who do not otherwise know of Jesus. And he promises that he will prepare the harvest. And he calls us to be the workers in that harvest. God is going to answer particular prayers when they line up with his will. But sometimes, don't those answers bother you when they're not the answers you wanted to get? When we found out we had to move, I was like, okay, no, God, no, this is not the right timing. I don't know how many of you remember the first Sunday I returned in, it was the end of December, after taking a leave after my husband passed away. I shared with you then that I had written in my journal 2 weeks before he passed, and I said, God, I want all of you. And I don't know what that means exactly, but I want it all. And whatever else you have for me, I want it. And I said, I know that that might mean something may have to happen in my life that takes my very breath away. And God, I'm willing because I want all of you. Now, I am in no way saying that God then said, okay, fine then, your husband is going to die unexpectedly. But I believe that he was preparing me for that time that my breath was taken away. And then we find out 4 months later that we're going to move. And I just went to God and said, okay, listen, God. Timing here, I don't like it. This doesn't feel like good timing. And God, your timing is supposed to be perfect. And have you noticed I've been going through a thing or two here? That I've had some big changes in my life, and this is the hardest time of my life ever. And you expect me to lead a church through change again? We've barely gotten settled. Yet, that's what God wanted. That's what he planned. That's what he ordained. And interestingly enough, as I've gotten into this process, what I have found happens to me when I get a new challenge, and I really hadn't taken time to analyze myself before in this way, I get energized. I have been energized for the last week and a half. So excited about this move, so excited about the new. And one thing God's reminded me of, he said, remember when you first started pastoring? Little over 4 years ago, he said, what did I tell you? What he told me was, the church that you lead must be a church of action, because faith without action is no faith at all. And he said, you were made to be different. Your church was made to be different. And you have been trying to take it and place it into kind of an ordinary church experience every week. And so today's different. It's a great new start. You're going to notice some differences as we continue on through the service. Sometimes, though, as I was saying, when God answers prayer, it's not what we want to hear. And a friend of mine was reading a book by Eugene Peterson called Working the Angles. And there's a quote in there, and he shared it with me, and it said, when we pray, we have a more than average chance of ending up in a place that we definitely never wanted to be. Angrily protesting, preferring death to the kind of life God insists on recklessly throwing us into. As we embrace this latest answer to prayer, which happens to be moving from Sunday to Saturday, it's going to take us so long to get that day of the week straight. But there's a reason he's moved us to Saturday. One reason is because he's called us to be different. Another reason is because we have been praying for salvations of people who do not know Jesus Christ. And we have added fasting to that practice. And God knows the people we are praying for. And he knows that it is important that we be here on Saturday night. And I don't know why, but I just know that God knows. So continue to pray for those people who God has laid on your heart. And if you have a list of people, some of us do have a list beyond one or two people who we've thought of, we said, we'll pray for you, whoever. Give me some names. So I've added to mine, I think I have 10 names. Anyway, I don't know who some of these people are. Whoever put the name Skylar down, I don't know who did. I pray for Skylar. I don't know who Skylar is. But God knows who Skylar is, and God knows exactly what Skylar needs. And I pray that the Holy Spirit's working in Skylar's life, and that Skylar will come to know him because of the prevenient grace, the grace that goes before a person makes a decision for Jesus Christ, the grace that prepares their heart to be ready for the harvest. And I don't know if the person who gave that name will be leading Skylar to the Lord or not, but I do know that my prayers mixed with other people's prayers are doing a work. And that work is to be the church of Jesus Christ and to be a place of hope, which is what we have been called to be. And being a place of hope means that we share the good news of Jesus Christ. And even if it catches us with unexpected events in our life, like here we are on Saturday night, how many people 2 months ago thought we would be here on Saturday night? No. We did not think that. But here we are, unexpected. We didn't know what was going to happen. There's another group of people that I want to look at today who had that same or similar experience. And we find them in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 42 and read to verse 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. So all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. These believers were the first church. And I know we're coming up on Easter, and it's almost like, hey, Carlene, did you get this out of order? We haven't quite got to Easter yet, and then it's after Easter that Pentecost comes, and then it's after that that the church begins to grow. Well, I think I mentioned last week, or I mentioned on Wednesday on the Facebook Live broadcast, that every day of the year is a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we don't wait until Easter, but Easter is a time when we observe that. The other thing is that every Sunday during Lent is a mini celebration, which means that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ all throughout Lent, even though we are waiting for Easter for like a big recognition of that. So today, in the mini celebration, what we want to do is look at the early church and take a look at how they behaved and how they did church. They were different. They were really different. And what had happened to them, which was really astounding, was that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the apostles, the people who had followed Jesus, his disciples, they began speaking in other languages. And some of those languages were languages that other people who were in town, it was their native language, and they understood it. And that was strange. And then the disciples started doing acts and miracles and praying for people and knowing things about people and having words for people. And this movement began. And the believers who were followers of Jesus when he was alive started gathering together and forming what we now know as church. And so we're going to just look and see what the early church was up to. What was it up to here? First of all, it was in awe of miraculous signs and wonders. Signs and wonders were not something that was just done in the early church. I can personally stand here and testify that within the last couple of months, I have sat with people and prayed with them, and the Holy Spirit has been so present that there has been healing, and we're just like sitting in a room together going, wow, there's tingles. The Holy Spirit is here. He is so present and working in our lives. That is something that is available to us now. We should still be in awe of miraculous signs and wonders. Do we notice them? Do we notice them? We need to be looking for them. One thing that has been awesome for me the last week is that God shifted my vision. He usually gives me a vision for kind of what lies ahead and for what he wants me to do. And for the last few months, I shared this on Wednesday, and I'll just share it briefly today. The last few months, when I would look for the future, all I saw was a thick bank of fog, and I could not see beyond that. And on Wednesday, when I was having my prayer time and I was fasting, I was apologizing to God because I felt like I was falling short. I wasn't serving as fully with my heart as I felt I should be. And I said, God, I'm so sorry I haven't been serving you like I should be serving you. And he stopped me and he said, I don't want that. I don't want that from you. I don't want you to serve me. I want you to be with me. Don't feel like you have to run and hide from me because you feel like you're not living up to my expectations, because you could never disappoint me. I love you. I created you. I know what you've been going through. I understand why you can't rise up to the level you expect of yourself. He wanted me to just be with him. And I took a peek at that vision, which is something, you know, in with my spiritual eyes, and the fog was gone. And the ocean spread out, and it was so massive, so expansive. And the sky was blue, and the waves just had the sun shining off of them. And I felt God saying, the future is huge. The future is huge, and it is bright, and it is expansive. And so that, to me, is something I am in awe of, that God would do that and give that to me in my time of prayer with him, in my time of need, when I'm coming to him sheepishly saying, I don't believe I'm living up to your expectations. And he said, all I expect of you is to just be with me. Just be my child. Another thing that the early church did was they met in one place and they shared everything. Here we are, meeting in one place. Yay. The church still does some of that. I think that they probably did it more frequently, but we do it once a week. Being committed to a fellowship is important. In our culture, we are very individualistic. People do not go out of their houses like they used to. You know, the whole front porch thing is turned into the backyard with the fence thing. Yet, there's an innate need that God placed within us to be in community because he made us in his image. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were a community. And then they said, let's add to our community. Let's add some humans to our community. And so he did. And that's an innate need we have because we are made just like him. Yet, our culture is not a culture that intermingles and meets together. And that's where the church goes counter to the culture. Meeting together is very, very important for us. We are edified, we worship together, we partake of food together, and we praise God through worshiping through song, worship through the word, and then we worship through response. Another thing that they did was give generously. And I just want to say that's something this church has done very, very well, and I think God is extremely pleased. We almost always have a good fund to draw from benevolence. And I can't always share details about how we are benevolent, but this last week there were two needs that came up and we were able to meet them. I do not believe we go a week without having someone contact us with a need. And our board is so responsive so quickly. If it goes over a certain dollar amount, I have to check with them. I mean, we just helped someone with rent just a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't full rent. She had part of it saved, but had her hours cut at work and not a part of our congregation. But we are generous. and that's something that you all should feel good about. And we restore, we replenish our benevolence fund every summer. One thing just to note, because I want to be transparent about it, our weekly giving is down. We are not quite meeting our needs right now. Fortunately, we have a little bit of a reserve. But for whatever reason, that has been not going as it had for the last few years. So we rely on God for that, but we also know that it is an act of our faith that we not only trust him, but we also give to him that which he is requiring us to give and asking us to give and desiring us to give so that we can do the work of the kingdom. The early church also worshiped together and they met in homes. Hospitality is really important. Gathering around a table. Now, sometimes that happens in homes, and I know that it happens in our small groups. And a lot of the time, the small groups that we have here at New Vision, they actually incorporate a meal or food. And the churches that do that tend to be the ones who grow more in fellowship with one another. We also need to remember that they broke bread as a meal, but they also came together, as was described, and they had communion together. And what we're doing differently here at New Vision starting today is that we're going to have communion every week so that we can continue coming to the table as a church together, as the early church did. And then finally, what we read is that they added to their fellowship. And that's what we purpose to do, because that means that we are truly carrying out our mission of being a place of hope. You know, there is a lot of meeting togetherness in that description of what the early church did. And I think it's cool because it means that they liked each other, kind of the good, bad, and the ugly. I mean, you know, we're all different people. We come from different pasts. We all have different stories. Yet God has brought us together and joined us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And we get, it's an honor to get to be in each other's lives. It's an honor to get to know each other. And getting to know each other deeper and deeper and deeper and more intimately. And that's what happens when we gather around tables. And you know what? It's okay to gather at a restaurant. You don't just have to be at your house. Our cultures change. Houses are great, and there's something special about bringing someone into your area of retreat and refuge. But it's also okay to just say, hey, let's go to coffee together. Let's go to dinner after church together. We are in the habit of going to lunch after church. We can start doing dinner after church. Let's gather around a table and get to know each other beyond the time of just everybody sitting and looking towards the front. Let's sit and look at each other's faces. So we're a church that's meant to be different, and we aren't to try to press ourselves into a mold despite our different. We're to embrace our different and reflect it in the way we fellowship. We are changed when we re-embrace and claim our different. Now, we have brought our sermon series with us of Why We Give. We've sojourned to a new location with a fresh passion that will ignite new vision into this place of hope we're called to be, because we're going to embrace different, and we're going to do that no matter where it leads. So let me tell you what different's going to look like. First of all, we meet on Saturdays now. Have we mentioned that? We're going to have a couple of songs up front. And what we used to do is have more songs and include offering in that time. And we're going to change that a bit. We're going to just open with worship. And then we're going to have worship through the word. And then we're going to have worship through response. And that's where it's going to get super duper fun for everybody here. And you know, what I said before, a little bit earlier, was that God told me when I first started pastoring this church that we must act on our faith. And so that caused us to be responsive, even in our worship services. We purposefully serve outside the church, and I think it's great. I love seeing you guys knitting. That makes me so excited, because next year we're going to have scarves to give to the homeless. Great idea. That came from Christina Leader. Thank you, Christina, for that. But now we're going to get ready to move on to our worship through response, and it's going to be divided into three things. The first thing is that we're going to have silent response. And so what we're going to do is, once the word is given and spoken and finished, we're going to sit for 2 to 3 minutes while music plays. And we're going to be with God. We're just going to be. And we're going to contemplate, and we're going to reflect on what he said to us during the time that the pastor or the preacher is talking. But we're not going to have the noise of somebody else talking in our head. We're just going to have a time with God. And then after we have the silent response, we're going to have a vocal response. And that's going to be testimonies. And we're going to take 10 minutes or so to share stories about what God's doing in our lives. I got to share my story today about the fog lifting and the sun being out there and my vision for the future. And thank you, Lord, for giving me a vision for the future again. And so we're going to share and have a vocal time of responding. And then after that, we're going to have what's called expressive response. And these are all made up. Silent response, vocal response, expressive response. Thank you, Christina Tran, wherever you are, for helping plan this type of worship service. Expressive response is when the band will come back up and we'll be singing. We will be coming forward and we will be taking communion. There's regular bread and there's gluten-free crackers. Oh, gluten-free's the bread. Ah, that's right. Gluten-free looks like bread, but it's gluten-free. Which makes it not bread, but it looks just like bread. There's a sign, there's signage. Gluten-free with an arrow. If you need gluten-free, there's gluten-free, and there's a bowl for gluten bread to be dipped into, okay? The bowl is God's blood that was spilled for you. No, what's in the bowl is actually grape juice. We use grape juice. And so the crackers have gluten in them. They don't look like bread, but they could be if, anyway, I don't know. I don't know how it all works. And then there's a dish to dip in. So anyway, man, it got really unspiritual suddenly, didn't it? Anyway, on the night of Jesus' betrayal, he took bread. And I think it had, no, it was unleavened, but it looks more like bread. And he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." And then he took a chalice of wine and he said, "This is to represent my blood, which was spilled for you, that washes you and cleanses you from all sin, making you as white as snow. Drink of this in remembrance of me." And so what we are doing with our communion is the same thing we did the last time we had communion. You come forward, you take your gluten-free or gluten not free, and you dip it into your juice and take a napkin and partake of it whenever you want to during expressive worship. As well, communication cards, connection cards are still in your bulletin. They're still important. Fill out as much or as little as you want to. Prayer requests are still going to be prayed for. And I would like to include a challenge for you this week as your next step to decide that you're going to create a space for God to do what he wants to do in your hearts. The Henry Nouwen quote that I shared earlier. Will you choose to make a space for God? That's what we're doing during Lent. It's not that we're giving something up when we're fasting. We're creating more space for God to work. Will we again reaffirm that? God, I want more space. Write it on, I want you to take more space. Write it on the connection card. Put it in this container. And then this is also where we're receiving offering. So come up, offering, connection card, communion, and the cross station is open during this expressive response time, and Greed is holding up a container in the back, which can also be a spot where you put your connection card and your offering, or you can also give it at the facilitator's table. In addition, we will have, well, there's ribbons along the sides. If you so desire to be expressive in your worship with a little bit of movement, those ribbons are there for you to use and be as creative and demonstrative as the Lord and the Holy Spirit lead. And there's also going to be some things put out on the bistro tables in the back. There'll be something for you. There's a Bible. You can look up verses. There's some pens. You can write. There's some paper and scissors and other things to make a collage or whatever you want to do with that expressively. And then there's a drawing sketch pad, graphite pencils, and colored pencils. So if you express yourself through art and that sort of thing, then that's available too. So, expressive worship. So first, silent response, vocal response, expressive response. And sorry that was so kind of mixed up, but, you know, thank you for your grace. We, as a church, become a reflection of that which is included in the lives of those who fellowship together. We become a church that becomes a reflection of that which is included in the lives of those who fellowship together. We become a church that is reflective of each one of our lives, of each one of our hearts, as we give more room to God and we fellowship with Him, as we recognize more our own identity in Him and what He desires the most from us, and as we look out beyond to the other, those of us who are fellowshipping together and those who are not here with us yet, but who need to know Jesus Christ. All of us together, as we are made uniquely yet in the image of God, become His body to make an impact and a difference in this world and to bring hope. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this time, and I thank you and I love you so much for being with us here. Saturday night, Sunday morning, God, you never leave us. You infill us. You drive us on to better things as long as we allow you to be the one taking the wheel and driving us. Lord God, I pray that each one of us will make the room that needs to be made in our life so that you can more completely lead us, so that you can more completely share your love with us, within us, helping us to fellowship with you more deeply, to grow into your likeness more fully, and to be your expression to the world more genuinely. Thank you, Father, for this time. I pray that during this silent response, you will fill our hearts and our lives, and this very room will be palpable with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.